This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Muriel Schwartz about her book, The Family Food Allergy Book. And Muriel, before the break, we were talking about the number of, you know, the big eight allergies that people need to avoid, or that are really affecting the population. Why don't you go through those top eight and just tell people, you know, where and what kind of effects that they do have on the body?
So the top eight are milk, egg, wheat, soy, shellfish, skinned or vertebrate fish, peanuts, and tree nuts. Now, these can kind of pop up in some places where you might expect. For example, you know that milk, you'll find it in cream and butter and ice cream. But there's also sort of these hidden food sources. Some canned tuna fish, for example, contains milk. And some deli meat slicers that are used often for both meat and cheese products contain some residue. So there's the easy places to keep an eye out for food allergies. And then there are sort of these tricky hidden places.
Now, are all food allergies equal? Like, what I'm saying are, can all these foods that you've talked about, these top eight, trigger the same significant results? Like, you know, we hear peanut allergies and we hear that perhaps they're really severe and seafood, shellfish, but are they the same as milk allergies or does it depend totally on the person?
It does depend on the person. I like to use the analogy of snowflakes, but no two food allergies are exactly the same. I've been having these reactions my entire life, and no two have been exactly identical. However, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America does estimate that the peanut and the tree nut allergy is one of the most common causes of food-related death.
I was going to say, you know, it's interesting you talk about asthma because I believe that dairy products are really related to asthma outbreaks, are they not?
Absolutely. It's an excellent correlation. Yeah, it makes the mucus just generally thicker, which can increase bronchospasms in the throat and chest.
What are some of the other, like what happens when people eat eggs, for example? What are some of the typically the allergy reaction to eggs if somebody has an egg reaction?
It can really vary. Egg allergy is a hypersensitivity to the dietary substances made with the yolk and the whites, which causes sort of this can cause this overreaction of the immune system. Interestingly, with eggs, someone who has an allergic reaction to the yolk may be able to easily tolerate the white and vice versa. However, many egg allergic individuals are allergic to proteins in both. It's estimated that with egg in particular, it affects approximately 1.5% of the young children within the food allergy categories overall. But interestingly, it's also one of the most likely allergies to be outgrown over time. It can cause some of those very anaphylactic symptoms that I described earlier, the wheezing, difficulty breathing, drop in blood pressure, the facial swelling. It's important to, with all of these allergens, to carry your epinephrine with you at all times.
You know, there was a big I wouldn't say craze, but a big fad in North America really to eliminate wheat from the diet over the last few years. And has this been shown to be a significant allergen? And if so, what is the reaction?
Well, more than 20 different potential wheat allergens have been identified. I think that the issue for the difference between wheat allergies that it can sometimes be confused with celiac disease. Mm. And celiac disease is a digestive disorder that creates an adverse reaction to the gluten. So someone with celiac disease does not have a traditional anaphylactic allergy, but they need to avoid the gluten found in wheat, rye, barley, oats. But celiac disease and gluten sensitivity are not a true allergic reaction to wheat. Although wheat can be the culprit, the two conditions differ greatly. Celiac disease is a genetic autoimmune disease that attacks the small intestine. So the symptoms tend to be of a largely typically gastrointestinal nature with bloating, pain, constipation, diarrhea. People with a wheat allergy can sometimes outgrow it, but because celiac disease is a genetic disorder, generally once someone is diagnosed with that celiac, they have that condition for life.
Mariel, I want to ask you about the challenges of someone that faces allergies on a daily basis. What do you need to be aware of, and what should the general public be aware of when they're around people that have allergies?
I find that most people tend to be very empathetic and well-meaning. Now that it's a very better understood medical condition and more mainstream, it's quite different than sort of that mystery and confusion from when I was younger. One of the areas where I think there can be a lot of traction and a lot of successes is in dining out, going to restaurants. I think that clear and calm and direct communication is really essential. And I know that it can feel that keeping control of food allergies at a restaurant might be intimidating. It's really a vital social experience to have with your friends and family, learning how to eat out safely. I think that the communication piece is critical because you need to be able to address it all the way from walking in the door from the front of the house. The information needs to travel all the way back to the kitchen with the busy chefs. But it's such a wonderful experience. One of my favorite experiences, going out and sharing meals with friends. Another idea of how that could be made better is more awareness about what's a cross-contamination. So that occurs when one food comes into contact with another food and their proteins mix on, let's say, for example, the same cutting board or the same serving utensil. And as a result, the two foods blend in amounts so small they can't really be seen. But each food then, of course, contains small amounts of the other food. So if you use a knife to cut something in the kitchen that has been used to cut walnuts, just quickly wiping the knife with a damp cloth and then using the same knife again is not really sufficient. There needs to be sort of a washing and a sanitizing process. And I think that the cross-contamination piece, I've seen here in the States, that has become sort of industry standards in the hospitality industry. So dining out, to me, feels very safe if I have that clear conversation. If my friends don't order the allergen, that's nice, too. Mm-hmm. And we can just have a way to be mindful of one another, but still sort of have that beautiful communal time together.
What is it that people with allergies need to communicate to the people around them?
Well, that while it is a life-threatening condition, it's important to not feel terrorized or do any terrorizing about it, if that makes sense. I think just a very sort of calm, matter-of-fact explanation tends to put people onto your same team, if you will, and you can sort of link arms with them and everybody's having a conversation rather than an allergic person sort of giving this alarming lecture all the time. I mean, my overall message about the food allergies is so positive and supportive. I think it is absolutely possible to live a full and active life, surviving and thriving with your food allergies. It's like any other medical condition. You know, you need to develop personal ways to reduce stress and have fun, you know, while keeping your body and mind calm. But it's good practice to learn how to have good relaxation techniques that reduces muscle tension. You can decrease your own stress hormones with some deep breathing, lower your heart rate and blood pressure. I mean, it's all about quality of life, and relaxation, you know, greatly improves your quality of life.
Mariel, you have a number of recipes in the book. Why did you put these in? Why are they, you know, what are your favorites?
My favorite recipe in the book is one I developed for my daughter, Charlotte Jude, which is a peanut and tree nut free zucchini bread. And I actually had the pleasure of serving it for an adult whom I did not know was food allergic. And when she came over and I offered her some zucchini bread, she said, "Oh, unfortunately, I'm allergic to tree nuts. So I've never had zucchini bread." And I told her, "You've got to be kidding. This is your lucky day." And she enjoyed having that experience, too. I think in the kitchen, It's just all about coming up with inventive substitutions. They can be pretty personal, depending on whether someone likes more crunch or more flavor or more texture. Playing around in the kitchen and doing some kitchen physics is a great stress reducer for food allergies.
Mm. Finally, you know, Muriel, we're running out of time, but I want to just ask you, where are we going in the future with allergies, and what can we do on a larger scale to slow down the progression that you've talked about earlier in the show about how, you know, more and more people are becoming allergic?
There are remarkable clinical trials happening here in the Bay Area, where I am based, at Stanford Medical Center. New York City also has a very dynamic clinical trial. We are trying to understand why the body is responding the way that it is. And scientists and doctors are rising to the occasion to come up with solutions to, if not eradicate food allergies in this lifetime, in our lifetime, to make them far more manageable and controllable. So I look forward to seeing a lot of that science emerge. It's an incredibly profound thing to witness right now.
Muriel, we only have a minute left, so just tell people where they can get the book and if they want to contact you.
Absolutely. The Family Food Allergy book is available on Amazon.com. My publisher, Basic Health Publications, Norman Goldfein's website, BasicHealthPub.com. And my website is www.allergysf.com.
Muriel, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this week's show. I want to thank Garrett Perry and Reg Fair and the producers of the show and producers across the country that are making it available to you. Thank you for listening and have a great, healthy week.